Welcome to A Little Self-Reliant, a podcast designed to help you embrace a bit more self-sufficiency no matter where you're at. I'm your host, Ashley Constance, and my mission is to guide you towards practical and attainable skills to cultivate a more self-reliant life. Whether you live on a farm in the country or a house in the city, I believe that there is something for everyone in the world of self-reliance. If you love soul-centered conversations around growing food, sustainability, modern homesteading, and connection to the land that feeds us, then this is the place for you. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 14, How to Harden Off Seedlings, and today is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. You guys, it's May! We did it. May is gardening season for real here. So I am so excited. We are officially heading into our crazy busy season here on the homestead, and I can feel the insanity and also the amazing expanse of energy in the air. But the good news is that I'm pretty well rested from a very long winter, so I am ready to go. So I don't have any announcements this week, but I do have a new review to read this week from Apple Podcasts, and this 5-star rating and review comes from Shreb Mar. It's titled Motivating, Informational, and Down to Earth, and they say, I love listening to every episode and have yet to miss one. The conversations are relevant, simple, but still packed with information and presented in such a way that I always feel inspired to do something with my hands after listening. Can't wait for more. Oh, Shrubmar, you make me blush. This reviewer is actually one of my friends in real life. So Marlene, if you're listening, thank you so much. Marlene actually started as one of my clients at the salon, but our shared passion for gardening and traveling and plenty of other things quickly turned us into friends. I love knowing that people I care about are getting something out of this podcast. So thank you so much for taking time to leave that review. If you'd like to hear your review read on a future episode and you haven't already left one, it would mean so much to me if you could do that. Head over to your podcast player of choice and leave a rating and a review if you are able. These ratings and reviews help this show to be discovered by more people who are on a journey of self-reliance like you. Okay, homestead update. I actually do have a lot to say this week because it's actually been almost 2 weeks since I recorded because last week I recorded on a Tuesday. So what's new with us? Oh my God, so much stuff. So I have started the process of hardening off some of our cold tolerant seedlings, specifically our onions and our brassicas, and I am hoping to get them transplanted out this week sometime into the garden. I have also seeded some carrots and some spinach in the raised beds, and I'm in the final stages of planting the rest of my garden, so things should be able to get started on seeding soon, I'm hoping, if this weather picks up and keeps up. It's actually really nice out. So the big thing around here is that my husband recently started a new job, so there has been some rearranging and rebalancing of responsibilities on the homestead, which has been a bit stressful and a little bit of an adjustment, but we are doing our best to make it work. I'm super excited for him, and if I'm being honest, I'm actually really excited too, because this makes it possible for me to become a better versed homesteader in a lot of the things around here that he always just took care of. So with him being away a little bit more, it's going to give me a little bit more of an opportunity to step up to the plate in some of those regards. So that is awesome. We have moved the baby chicks out into their barn brooder, and it was such a relief to get them out of the house because they had definitely overstayed their welcome. We never intended to have them in the house for 4 weeks, but it has been so freakishly cold here that we couldn't avoid it. We did unfortunately need to cull two of our home-hatched chicks this week. If you're following on Instagram, you may remember that I posted about one baby who was born with one eye that was smaller than the other and was kind of always squinting. He was also a bit unsteady on his feet and just generally didn't seem to be thriving, but we decided to give him a chance and see if he'd get stronger. Before we moved the birds out to the barn, we realized just how much smaller he was than the rest and how he didn't seem to be growing at the correct rate. So I spent some time watching him and found that he was pretty weak. He was really slow, lethargic, always closing his one eye, kind of just huddled up all alone and dejected, wasn't really eating much. So it was pretty obvious that he wasn't well, and no amount of food, water, vitamins, electrolytes, etc., were going to help him improve. So we decided to make the difficult decision to cull and end his suffering, and we had another bird who had developed one of the worst cases of crossbeak that I've ever seen. and the only case I've ever seen actually in my own birds. If you don't know, crossbeak is basically when a bird's jaw isn't formed properly and the top and bottom portions of the beak are crossed over. Sometimes it's manageable and they can go on to live like normal lives or slightly impaired lives, but with a little bit of extra care, it can be okay. But sometimes this is so severe that it prevents them from being able to eat or drink, which unfortunately was the case here. And it's crazy because we didn't actually notice the crossbeak until recently, which leads me to believe that it progressively got worse as the chick grew. Anyway, those were two very sad situations and it was a crappy choice to be faced with, but we ultimately know that we did the right thing. The good news is that the other 27 chicks are absolutely thriving and are very happy to be in their great big brooder out in the barn. Another thing that's been going on is I started more seeds. So we are rapidly approaching our last frost date, which for us is at the end of May. So this is my final round of seed starting. I like to start things like squash, zucchini, pumpkins, and cucumbers just a few weeks before planting out to give them just a little bit of a head start. So that is what I did. I am also experimenting with starting some corn plants inside this year, once again, just to try to give them a little head start. There are mixed reviews as to whether or not this is actually helpful, but I wanted to give it a try, and I will keep everyone updated on Instagram all about how it goes. So today, which is Sunday as I'm recording this, my husband Sean and I are pounding the posts for our new goat pasture because our goats have officially been born. I haven't seen photos yet, but I can't wait. And they will be coming home probably sometime in June. And now with him starting this new job, our time for projects has been like vastly limited. So we have the post pounder rented for today and we're trying to get all the posts in. So unfortunately, you may be able to hear it in the background of this recording if you hear like some banging and pounding going on. That's what it is. It's our post pounder and our dog is also freaking out. So apologies in advance for any noise in this recording. Okay, so on to our main topic of the day, which is all about how to harden off your seedlings. So as many of us in the Northern Hemisphere begin approaching our last frost dates, or maybe if you're already there, you're considered very lucky in my opinion, it is time to start thinking about moving our tender little seedlings from the house out into the real world of the garden. Although I know we're all excited to get the garden going, we definitely don't want to shock our poor little plants by just plopping them outside with no chance to acclimate. Doing this can lead to transplant shock, stunted growth and development, and sometimes even death of the plant. Hardening off is the gradual process of transitioning a young plant from the comfy, cozy environment of your house or greenhouse or wherever you started your seeds into the rough and tumble world of the outdoor garden. Without getting too sciencey here, you are essentially toughening up the root system and the actual cell walls of the plant so that they can handle the volatile world of real sun and wind and rain and fluctuating temperatures and all that stuff. So there are a few simple steps you can follow to harden off your plants successfully, and there are a few things you can actually do before you harden your plants off. So if you're listening to this in real time, you probably still have a couple weeks, so I would get on these things now if you haven't already. Number one is you want to ensure your plants are in their final pots. So if you were planning to do any potting up of your seedlings as they grow, it's a good idea to have done that before you begin to harden them off so you don't overstress them. Number two is make a plan. Hardening off, at least for me, usually takes about a week or so. And I know we all have busy lives with work and school and kids and families and commitments, but writing out a rough plan so you can make sure you dedicate the time to hardening off will only increase your success. Number three is to give them a little pre-workout. So there are a few things you can do in the weeks before hardening off to start strengthening your plants. You can run your hand gently over the foliage or place a gentle oscillating fan on your seedlings to help strengthen them up. You can also lower the temperature in your grow room a bit if you want, and I have also heard that you can try withholding water just a little longer than you usually would to create a bit more resilience in the root system. This isn't something I've ever done personally. Generally, I just like to touch my plants a lot and have a fan on them for a few hours a day, and this helps them to become nice and strong before we harden off. Okay, so timing hardening off. Timing the process comes down to which plants you're working with. So certain cold-tolerant plants, such as I was mentioning earlier, the onions, the brassicas, the greens, those guys can be hardened off and transplanted a few weeks before your average last frost date because they can tolerate a light frost. Others, such as tomatoes, peppers, and squash, can't be transplanted until after your last frost date. So plan accordingly, and if you're not sure if your specific plant is frost tolerant or not, do a quick Google search. So here are a few tips when it comes to actually hardening off. I have outlined a week-long schedule here, which we will talk about in a few minutes, and this is generally what I stick to in my garden, but you can obviously adjust it for your own needs and your own schedule. So if you're able to, keep an eye on your plants as you harden them off and watch for any signs of stress, such as wilting or severe discoloration. If your plant shows signs of stress, bring them back inside and maybe consider a more gradual transition. You can always repeat the same day in the schedule twice if you feel the need. Use your judgment here and just go with your gut. Don't forget to continue watering your plants while they're going through the hardening off process, and they are going to dry out a lot quicker outdoors than they probably would in your grow room. The same rules apply with watering as when your plants are inside. You are shooting for that wrung out sponge consistency in the soil. You definitely don't want it too wet, but you don't want it to completely dry out either. Obviously, keep an eye on your weather, and if it's going to be unseasonably cool, extremely windy, or very, very rainy, perhaps don't put your tender plants outside just yet. Some plants, such as onions, brassicas, and greens, can tolerate lower temperatures better, while tomatoes and peppers will not appreciate chilling temperatures, and in severe cases, it can actually kill them. One more helpful tip for hardening off, if you are able to use rigid trays to transport all of your plants in and out of the house, you will save yourself a lot of added work. And if the trays are a little bit flimsy, you can always double them up just to add a little bit more rigidity to your transportation vessel. That's what I like to do. Okay, so on to the actual hardening off schedule. And as I previously mentioned, I generally take about 7 days to do this, but depending on your schedule and the weather, you can increase it if you need to. This is not like a set in stone schedule. Okay, so here's generally what I follow. Day one, your plants are going to go outside in the shade for a few hours. That is it. Just 2 to 3 hours outside in the shade is all your plants need on day one. After that, you can put them back under their grow lights inside. On day two, your plants are going to go outside in the shade for half the day. So you can let your plants sit out in the shade for about 6 hours or so on day two. Again, put them back in their indoor environment once they're done. On day number three, they get to go outside in the shade for a full day, all day long. I would say, like, I usually do sun up to sundown, but again, I'm trying not to blast them with direct sunlight just yet. But then on day four, your plants can go outside in the sun, but only for a few hours. So you're back to that kind of 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours. This time though, it's going to be in direct sunlight. So try to avoid putting them in an area that gets absolutely roasted by the hot sun, you know, on the first day if you can. Like, maybe don't put them on like the south facing wall of your house, but they can go in direct sunlight at this point. Number five, same thing with direct sunlight, but today they get to go out for half a day. So you're back to that kind of 6 hour schedule. Now on day six, they get to go outside in the sun for a full day. As long as they're still looking good, they are ready to spend a whole entire day in the sun. But then again, you're bringing them inside at night. Okay, day seven is a big day. This is your plant's final exam of the hardening off process. So today you're going to place them in the location where they are eventually going to be transplanted into, but you're going to leave them in their pots that they're in. And they can spend a full day here, and as long as the temperatures aren't hitting frost levels overnight for tender annuals such as tomatoes and peppers, they can actually spend the night outside as well. Now, generally speaking, frosts can be expected when temperatures hit lows of about 32 to 36 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 to 2 degrees Celsius. But my personal, like, comfortable threshold is around 3 to 4 degrees Celsius, which is 37 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So if temperatures are going to get any colder than 4 degrees Celsius, I'm not quite ready to leave those plants, those tender plants, out overnight yet. And I will have all of this outlined in the show notes, by the way. I know this is like a lot of words and numbers. Okay, so day number eight. So this is transplant day. So plan for this with your schedule because this could, if you have a lot of plants, take a lot of time. But hopefully, if your plants have passed their final exam, it is now time to transplant them. So to do this, you're going to dig a hole where your plant is going to live. You're going to gently tip the plant out of its pot and place it into its forever home. Don't panic if your plant has been fine up until now, and then within a few hours it starts to look a bit stressed or wilted after transplanting. Minor transplant stress isn't the end of the world, and your plant should perk back up in a few days. Okay, that is all there is to it. It, again, was a lot of information, but I will have this schedule in the show notes, or there will be a link actually in the show notes because I wrote a whole blog post about this. So all of that will be there for you. You can refer to that. You can save it. Don't stress. It's a lot easier than I made it sound probably. It can be a little bit of a labor-intensive process, but with a little bit of strategic planning, you can confidently transition your precious plants into the outside world with minimal impact on the plants. Just remember to pay attention to them and how they're looking and make little adjustments along the way if you need to. Well, thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of the show today. If you would like to support the work that I am doing in creating this podcast, there are a few ways that you can do that. First, if you haven't already, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the show in your podcast player of choice. Subscribing really helps because then the episodes are automatically downloaded to your device, and this is great for you because you don't have to worry about it, and it's also great for me on my end as well. Second, you can share this podcast with a friend who you think might find it helpful, or you can share it to your social media accounts. If you do share the episode on Instagram, be sure to tag me at A Little Self-Reliant so I can thank you personally and see what you're up to as well. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can head over to patreon.com/a little self-reliant and choose from 5 different levels of monthly monetary support. Tiers start as low as just $3 a month, and benefits can include bonus episodes, a small holiday gift and card in the mail, Q&A video calls, and shoutouts on the show. Your support means the world to me and helps me to continue bringing you fresh new episodes week after week. You are also invited to join my Facebook group, Living a Little Self-Reliant, where we talk all about self-reliance topics such as gardening, cooking, food preservation, raising animals, and so much more. Just answer the questions when you request to join and let me know that you heard about the group on the podcast, and I'll be sure to get you in there right away. You can search for the group right in Facebook, and I will also have it linked in the show notes for this episode. Okay, my friends, until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, have a great week, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy May, and I will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to A Little Self-Reliant. I hope you learned something or felt something, or maybe even gained some inspiration to try something new. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at A Little Self-Reliant, or you can follow our homesteading adventures under the handle Dirty Paws Homestead. You can also visit alittleselfreliant.com to see the blog post and show notes that accompany this episode. And until next time, remember, we may not be able to do everything, but a little self-reliance goes a long way.